This morning I want to talk about moms, about mothers, and a kind of a unique thought I hope for some of you that mothers bear the image of God. So we're looking at mom, image bearer of God. Mothers just have a way about them if you think about it. This is quite noticeable. You can describe it. You can even define it. In fact, if I were to ask you, what is one word that you could describe the qualities of a good mom? What are some of the qualities of mothers that we appreciate? I mean, just call them out to me. What are some qualities?
Faithfulness.
What else?
Compassion.
Godliness.
Selfless.
Loving. Selfless.
Patience.
Prayer warriors.
Nurturing.
Awesome. And you know, those are words that I would have thought you would say. And those are words that we all would agree about, because it just comes natural for a mom to have these qualities, characteristics that seem to be self-evident and even common. One thing you notice about these qualities is that they're rather universal. They're not even necessarily Christian, since you know unbelievers, people that don't even believe in God, possibly, who carry the same characteristics. And the question this morning is, where did that come from? Why is it like this? I believe the answer for this is found very plainly in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, and at the beginning of all of creation, and God is creating human life. And he says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And there's your answer. People are created in the image of God. And notice very deliberately and specifically, he says male and female. Not only is man or male created in the image of God or in the likeness of God, that's what the word image means. In other words, reflecting the characteristics of that God, not God, but reflecting characteristics in the image, in the likeness of God, he clearly says women or woman, the female, is also created in his image. The innate instinctive qualities of a woman, specifically a mother for our purposes this morning, are reflections of the image of God. Now, we would all have to admit that they are not perfect images of God. And I think the ones who probably would admit that the most are the moms themselves. But images nonetheless. Only God is perfect. And yet, he has chosen in his mercy and his wisdom and his creativity to create people, and women in particular who are mothers, we're talking about this morning, who are made and carry the qualities and the characteristics of their maker. But one of the greatest values of a mother is that she has the privilege of bearing the image of her creator. It's an awesome thing. And that's what makes her special. Now, everybody bears the image of God, because male and female, everyone is created in the image of God. That's what makes your life precious. That's why we're so fiercely protective of life, because it is made in the image of God. And so, even though that image may be marred or twisted in our humanity, in our sinfulness even, but it is present nonetheless. God is merciful in this common grace of allowing his image to make its way out. And how important is that? For moms especially, because they're raising and helping raise the next generation. Now, when we think about God, we're easily and rightly directed towards that masculine pronoun, because that's how God presents himself in Scripture. That's a scriptural issue. It's a biblical authority issue. He created man, Adam, and then Eve as Adam's helper and companion. This is the way God did it. And before I even continue, you must not be hearing me say this morning, and joining the sacrilegious crowd of voices that want to make God into a woman, Jesus was a man, or even saying that God is feminine. That's not what I'm saying. But God has made it plain and consistent that he is our Father. And so what I am saying this morning, that you need to hear just as well this morning, is that whatever you appreciate in the feminine or the female qualities of a mother, this is a reflection of the image of God. Just as we easily attribute masculine qualities to God, mighty warrior, king, father, that's how he presents himself, we need to see that mothers, women, are not independent beings, all of their own nature. No, they are made in the image of God, just like men. They, like men and all people, are reflections of the image of God. Now, I want to let Scripture speak for itself this morning. What are these images? What are these reflections? What are these qualities? You've already named several of them. In fact, you gave me my notes here this morning. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. Some of you said nurturing and caring. Let's start with that one. Nurturing and caring. That means to feed or to protect, to nurture one's offspring. It is the mother that provides that milk and that concern for the nutrition and the value of the health of a child, and to support and to encourage as during the period of training or development, to foster, to nurture, to promising, whether it may be musicians or qualities of a child that need to be brought out. A lot of times the mom is the one who is really tuned in to that child in the rearing and the upbringing, the training, the education. All these are nurturing and caring qualities or characteristics of a nurturing mother. Now you say, well, okay, how is that the image of God? Does the Bible actually say that? It really does. We see it in the idea of shepherding. And I want you to see how Scripture describes God himself in the same way. Ezekiel 34, verse 12 says, "As a shepherd cares for his herd in the day, when he is among his scattered sheep," this is God speaking, "so I will care for my sheep and will deliver them from all the places to which they were scattered on a cloudy and gloomy day." This is God describing himself as one who cares for his sheep. And that's a reflection, of course, or a description of his people. The nurturing heart of God. 1 Thessalonians 2:7 in the New Testament, he says, "Although we could have been a burden as Christ's apostles," so the apostles are writing, Paul is writing, and he says, "as representatives of Jesus, we could have been a burden. Instead, we were gentle among you, as a nursing mother nurtures her own children." The Spirit of God lives in a very unique way through the apostles to communicate truth and to people to understand who God is. What is he like? What is his plan for people knowing him? And that came out as like a mom, a nursing mom. Nurtures her own children. This is the heart of God. 1 Peter 2:2. We are to be like newborn babies, longing for the pure milk of the word. Even the scripture, the truth, is not just information that you need to know. The Bible, the scriptures, are milk for the nurturing heart of a believer. And that, why would God refer to it like that? Because of his nature that is nurturing, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. We are told in 1 Peter 5:7 that we are to cast all of our anxiety on him because he cares for you. He has a caring, nurturing. He invites you to cast all your junk, all your concerns, all your anxieties, and to cast it on him. It's one of the most common prayers that we pray. Why would you do that if he wasn't caring? Psalm 111, 5, he has given food to those who fear him. He will remember his covenant forever. So the point here of the image of God who nurtures and cares is reflected, shown, especially in a mother. Not exclusively in mothers. I mean, men, you have a responsibility to be caring, and you have a responsibility to be nurturing to your children as well. But God gave it naturally to a woman. Why? Because that's his image. She is made in his image. So this sermon this morning is really to show you the things that God has done in in our moms, but to show you to honor God where it comes from. And I hope that the end result of that is that our moms will get even better at what they do, and we, as their children or being married to a mom, will give them the honor and the appreciation and all that comes with them displaying that image in them. So I've got eight of them. That was the first one. Number two is tenderness. Tenderness or mercy, compassion, loving kindness. All of those words kind of can melt together in a description of moms. And some of you even said some of those words. That love, that affection. It's why moms sing to their kids. It's why they sing a lullaby. It's why when they're holding them, they might sing them a song. The loving heart towards a child, the affection that is very powerful and very important to the heart, the mind, the psyche of a human being. And you say, well, does the Bible describe God that way? Does God describe himself that way? Let me show you. Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17 in the Old Testament. It says this, the Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. So there's the mighty side. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. He rejoices. God rejoices over his children, his imperfect kids, with singing. You don't usually think about God that way. But there it is. It's right there in the Bible. It's all over the Bible, actually. James chapter 5 and verse 11. We count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. Psalm 103:4, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. Psalm 145 says, the Lord is good to all and his mercies over all his works. But somebody says, well, wait a minute, I'm in trouble. I'm having a lot of problems. Yes, but that never ceases, or that never changes, or means that God is not being good to you, or has been good to you, or has extended his loving kindness to you. Just because we're going through a problem, does that mean that God is not these things? Of course not. He is. Psalm 36:7, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. So how can we know what mercy is like? How can we know what loving kindness is like? Well, a lot of times it comes because we've experienced it through somebody, some person, somebody else who's made in his image. And so the actual compassion, mercy of God is demonstrated to us through this person. Their kindness in a harsh world, that we experience the harshness and the anger of the world. We need kindness, and it's going to come most likely through a human being. And let me say, if you experienced it from your mother, you experienced it from God, because she's made in his image. So, nurturing, tenderness. Number three, forgiveness. Forgiveness. Moms will forgive, even to their own hurt, and they will forgive when nobody else will. Psalm 99, verse 8, shows us this reflection in the heart of God. O Lord our God, you answered them. You were forgiving. You were a forgiving God to them. And in Psalm 130, out of the depths I cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities or sins, O Lord, who could stand? If you hold me accountable for that, how am I going to stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared, you may be honored and respected. There is forgiveness with you. Yes, I'm a sinner. Yes, I have broken the law of God. And where does that leave me? If God were to hold me accountable to the things that I've done, where would I would be nowhere. I would be condemned. But there is forgiveness with you. And this is where the whole gospel comes to us. The whole reason why Jesus came to the earth. The whole reason why he had this amazing plan from before the foundation of the world. He knew what was going to happen. And he provided a way to come to this earth himself, to incarnate himself in the person of Jesus Christ, to come and die a death that we deserve to die so that we could be forgiven. This is the heart of God. This is what he's always done. Acts 10:43, of him all the prophets bear witness that through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. Those who receive Christ and believe in him, trust in him, receive his forgiveness. It's not based on our performance. It is not based on how well we've done. It's not based on us. It's based on him. Our role is response. And then he makes a massive difference in our lives. Colossians 1:13 and 14, for he rescued us from the domain of darkness. He transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption. Say it with me, the forgiveness of sins. It is the heart of God. It is the nature of God to forgive. So, if we are made in the image of God, his image can come out of us in forgiveness, and it really shows up in mothers, especially towards their children. Forgiveness. Number four, sacrificial. Sacrificial. Several of you said that. It's the idea of a mother covering her child. We have many examples of this. In Hong Kong, China, it was 2:28 on May 12, 2008. You may remember this, when a devastating earthquake shattered the villages of China's Sichuan province, leaving 69,000 people dead. And it had this famous image of a mother covering her child, sacrificing herself, she thought, to protect her child. This is the heart of a mom. To be sacrificial. Mothers who sacrifice for their children. And today, it happens all the time. It has happened many times in this room. Married mothers, single mothers who work and give up their dreams even at times so their kids will have a better life. Or they give up their day or their hour or their food. They give of themselves. They may even suffer knowing that it's going to bring something good for their child. It comes to them rather naturally. And there's 1,000 examples of this. But where does it come from? It comes from the heart of a God who understands sacrifice. Sacrifice. Hebrews 10:12. But he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God. Jesus Christ, the Son of God and God the Son, comes to the earth and sacrifices himself. This is the nature of God. As God, he sacrifices himself. There's only one who could deal and bear the sins of the world, not a human being like us, a sinner like us. It had to be a man, but it had to be God. It had to be someone who could deal with the sin. This is the nature of God. Titus 2. Looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself, there's the sacrificial element, he gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession. The heart of God. Galatians 1. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, so that he might rescue us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. And then last week you heard from Brother Charlie Halloran, 1 John 2:2. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world. The idea of sacrifice is not isolated in the Bible. It is part of God's way of thinking. He created a situation where he could bring himself in, sacrifice himself for the sins of human beings so that they could be made right with his nature and be brought into his kingdom, being brought into his heaven, being brought into a relationship with him. Without it, we have no relationship. This is the nature of God. And moms are made in that image. Imperfectly, of course, but they're made in that image. And so they sacrifice. It just comes out because they're made in his image. Number five, moms are protective. Oh, moms are protective. fiercely protective. That's why we say you don't mess when with mom's kids, and we usually put it in terms of mama bear, right? Mama bear, when their cubs are being threatened. My mom's here today, and when my younger brother was 16, he came driving home with a friend, and right behind him was a Hollywood police car. Followed him into the driveway, and was rough and tumble with my brother and his friend. I don't know what they were doing, but they were coming home. They weren't running away. And he was, you know, I guess trying to be tough with them. And mom came out. And it looked like maybe he was going to, like, put them in his car. And my mom got between my brother and that police officer and said, "These boys are not going anywhere until their father comes home." She was very protective. I don't know what would have been worse, coming home and face Brother Clell or to face the police. But either way, it was an important day. Ladies, you can't overdo this. It's not a perfect protectiveness. It's not letting your kids do anything they want because of fear, or the image, of course, is not a perfect image. Sometimes we get that protectiveness wrong, but it's there. It's what protects our kids. It's there because God is protective of his children. Psalm 121, verse 7, "The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul." 2 Thessalonians 3:3, "But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one." 1 Peter 1:5, "You who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." In the Old Testament, a man named Boaz, after the death of Ruth's husband and her admirable work that she did, he came to her and he said, "The Lord will repay you for what you've done, and a full reward be given to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Now, what kind of bird protects another bird under its wings? A mama bird. Boaz was reflecting the image of God as a mother bird. This is the mindset of the people of God and how they were to understand him. This is what God wanted them to understand about him. And even from the mouth of the Lord Jesus himself, listen to what he said as he looked over Israel, who was so far away from God. Matthew 23:37, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were unwilling." You were unwilling. But that's what I wanted. Jesus compares himself as a mother hen. This is the attitude of God. That's what we're supposed to get from that. The protective nature on display through Christ is now on display through protective moms. That's where she got that. She's made in the image of God. So many, not just one or two. Comforting, number six. She's comforting. Maybe this is mom's best known character quality. She comforts. Where did she get that? John 15:26, "But when the Comforter has come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, who proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." Jesus said that the Holy Spirit is going to come. And what is he going to do? He's going to comfort you. And what does that word comfort mean, as we learned again last week? It means to come alongside as your advocate, as your comforter, as the one who brings you peace in the midst of difficulty. Isaiah 66:12-13, "For this is what the Lord says, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the wealth of nations like a flooding stream. You will nurse and be carried on her arm and dandled on her knees." That means like playfully played with on her knees. "As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you." Read that with me, would you? "As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. And you will be comforted over Jerusalem." This is where it comes from. Psalm 131. O Lord, my heart is not proud, and nor my eyes haughty, nor do I involve myself in great matters or in things too difficult for me. Surely I have composed and quieted my soul like a weaned child rests against its mother. My soul is like a weaned child within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. What is he saying? He's saying you can hope in God compared to like a mother comforts her child. How you would go to your mother. You can do this with God. This is the essence of being a true Christian even. Hoping, trusting, resting in God. Number 7, generous. Moms are generous. Titus 3. But when the kindness and love of our God and our Savior appeared, he saved us not because of righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by grace, we might become heirs having the hope of eternal life. God is not chintzy. God is not stingy with his grace. It's a lavished grace because we have a lot of sin to cover. Amen? Moms are generous because God is generous. She's made in the image of God. I have one more. But before I give you the last one, how should we respond to this? I mean, I've given you a list, kind of thrown a lot of scripture at you just to kind of show you how this works. How should we respond to this? Well, first thing I would say is that mothers, let me speak to the mothers just for a moment, and say this, Mom, you can seek and pray to reflect the image of God that God has given you and to give your children a head start. You can pray that God would, that you would be a free channel of all these incredible qualities, all these wonderful realities. Yes, they are given to you. Yes, you do bear the image of God. But you know, as you pray and open yourself and surrender yourself, these things become even better, even more free-flowing out of your life as you surrender to the one who made you in his image. No mom has all these down. Some might even be deficient in some area where it's a weakness in their life, but maybe because in their life that they were treated a certain way, and those things can be overcome so that the image of God continues to be available to your children, no matter how old they are. So moms can continue to benefit and see the reflection of the image of God in them. But everybody else, all of us here in this room, we need to remember that your mother is made in the image of God. So our job is to appreciate what he has done. And where she has been weak in some of these areas, to show her grace. She was made in the image of God. She is not God. She's made in the image of God. And so we show grace and we appreciate and we value and we honor and we submit. You young people, you need to submit to your mother. Because you're submitting. Think about what you're submitting to. You're submitting to the image of God. Now the last one. Faithfulness. Another way to say that is unconditional support. Promise keeping. The mother who will not give up on a child. If they are sick, she stays up all night. If they are competing, they're there cheering them on. If they're in trouble, they will hold vigil. How many times have we seen the courtroom scenes, you know? A child has committed some heinous crime. He's public enemy number one. Everyone sneers and nobody defends the angry, cold-blooded killer. Except one woman. She sits there alone in the courtroom and she cries when her sentence is handed down. She doesn't condone his actions, but she will not give up on her son. I ask you, where did that come from? Why is it like that? Psalm 36:5, your loving unkindness, O Lord, extends to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Psalm 89:2, for I have said loving kindness will be built up forever. In the heavens you will establish your faithfulness. Psalm 89:30, if his sons forsake my law and do not walk in my judgments, if they violate my statutes and do not keep my commandments, then I will punish their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. But I will not break off my loving kindness from him, nor deal falsely in my faithfulness. How does God demonstrate faithfulness? His reliability. He does it through keeping promises. This is what he does. Matthew 28:20 is probably the promise of all promises. Jesus said as he's lifting off from the earth, he says to the disciples, I am with you always. Always. Even to the end of the age. It's the greatest of all promises. I am with you always. He's faithful. And as we believe this and look to him for his ever-present help and guidance, we can actually experience it. Because he's faithful, we can count on him to do what he said he's going to do. Just two more passages. 1 Thessalonians 5. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is our eternal security. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. Aren't you grateful that God is committed to being faithful, to keeping you as his child until the end, if you're a believer in Christ? And then finally, Hebrews 10. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Why would you be faithful? Why would you hang on? Why would you keep going? For, or in the Greek, because he who promised, read it with me, is faithful. He who promised is faithful. That's why we keep going. We don't keep going to keep his faithfulness. We keep going because of his faithfulness. So we started this service with the faithfulness of God. We're going to end the service with the faithfulness of God. And we're going to appreciate and honor and love the women who have been reflections of this image of God, so that we can, even in our honoring of her, end up worshiping the one who made her. And two beautiful things happen as a result. So let's pray and ask God to do this in our lives. Lord, we need your help to see the image of God in our moms. And for those who are mothers themselves, I pray that today you would encourage them that you have chosen to reflect yourself through them. And that makes them invaluable, important, essential, because we need you. And so you gave us them. And I pray that today moms here that are watching online or here in this room would be encouraged with the reality that they are the image bearers of God. And I pray that you would move even stronger and stronger through them in this way. May they, their hearts and their minds and their lives be open to what you would do. To have a free flow of your wonderful, these eight things: nurturing, tenderness, forgiving, sacrificial, protective, comforting, generous, faithful. Lord, may the people that they extend that to, children that they extend that to, benefit from you, because you made her the way you did. So, Lord, we end this time reflecting on your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. Every day we experience it. So, Lord, speak to us even as we respond to this message. And for those who have yet to put their faith in Jesus, I pray that today would be their day. They would say yes to Christ, and that their eyes and their hearts would be open to realities that, like we've talked about today, that they've never been able to really appreciate. today they would, because they opened themselves to you and they received the love and the forgiveness, the wonderful motherly qualities that are extended through our Heavenly Father to all those who would believe. And we trust you for all this in Jesus' name.